The title of my split sermon is Always Put Your Trust in God. I think you'd be surprised, and I certainly was surprised, at the most trusted brands in the United States for the year 2023. I won't ask you to raise your hand or shout it out or anything else, but let me just read a couple of them off. And the number one trusted brand in the United States is Band-Aid. I wasn't even sure they were still around, to tell you the truth, but I guess they are. Number two is UPS. Number three, shouldn't be a surprise, Amazon. How about number four? Lysol. Yeah, post-COVID. You know, COVID really brought that back, I think. Kleenex is another one in that same category. How about Cheerios? And I'll read one last one off. The Weather Channel. That one threw me for a loop. I'm sorry, but it really did. My question to all of us, including myself, is where are we to put our trust? Advertisers would like us to put our trust in whatever they're advertising. And we're being bombarded in more ways than ever by advertisers these days. And I'm not up here to tell you that we shouldn't buy these brands or use these brands or anything else. But at the end of the day, where do we put our trust? That's what I'm here to speak about. So this afternoon, I would like to look at where we put our trust and where we don't put our trust or shouldn't put our trust. But not as I'm saying it, but as God's Word tells us. So let's first look at what is trust? What's the definition of trust? I'll read a couple of definitions from Webster's. The first is assured reliance on the character, ability, strength, or truth of someone or something. The second is one in which confidence is placed. Well, Strong's, if we look, do a search in the Bible for the word trust, it's one thing is Hebrews 9:82, and it's batak. It's a primitive root, properly to hide for refuge, figuratively to trust, be confident or sure, be bold, confident, secure, sure. Put confidence, have hope in, trust. So, to summarize, to be confident or sure, to be bold, and to be secure. It's found 120 times in the King James Version. And the Greek is at least four different Greek words for that, and they all mean reliance, confidence, trust, or expect with desire. Is our trust with God? Our absolute trust. And I stress the word absolute trust. At the end of the day, who do we trust? That should be God. God will never disappoint us. He never lies to us. That can't be said about any other company, or person, God will never disappoint us. We heard in the first split sermon, we heard about our calling. God has called each one of us. God has trusted us in that calling. Do we trust God in return? He knows that we can do whatever He's put before us. He trusts us to accomplish that. We do our part, and He knows if we do our part, we can do whatever He asks us to do. We need to, in return, trust God when we read in His Word that we're supposed to do something, that we do it. We don't hesitate. You know, you've seen these activities where they stand up and there's somebody behind you and they're going to catch you and you're supposed to fall backwards. I don't know about you, but there's very few people in this world that I would love stand behind me to catch me. And the one that I would trust the most, I don't think she could. Doesn't make any less of her. But God, we should always trust. God will never let us down. He will never disappoint. So, there's three things that we are told in Scripture to put our trust in. First one is in God Himself. Let's turn to Psalm 31, verse 1. Psalm 31, verse 1. Here we read, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Can we say that we've never been ashamed to acknowledge God in public? I'll put it that way. That we're bold enough, confident enough in our faith that what we do and what God has asked us to do doesn't really matter what people around us think about it. Move on a few more verses to verse 6. And David says, I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. In verse 14, David also says, but I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. Can we say that? Can we say that? With confidence, with boldness, and really mean it. And then in verse 19, oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, respect thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. That's speaking of us. That's how we're supposed to be. We're supposed to trust in God before the sons of men. Well, that's what some of the things that David said. How about the example of Esther in Esther 4, verses 10 through 17? Esther 4, verses 10 through 17. We all know this story, how the Jews were in real trouble at this point, and how Mordecai had come to Esther and commanded her to think not of herself to escape the king's house more than all the Jews. And in verse 14, for if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art the kingdom for such a time as is. Esther couldn't just go into the king and talk to the king without being summoned. That was a death sentence for her to do that on her own. But in this case, they fasted. They all fasted for 3 days. And Esther, in return, she did go into the king. And she was given grace by the king. The king heard her. And therefore, through her trust in God, that it would all work out, even when humanly it didn't seem like it was headed anywhere but death. That she trusted, absolutely trusted in God and followed through. You could say she started out at the beginning of the race behind the eight ball. She was behind the other runner. But with all her strength and all her trust in God, she caught up and surpassed that other runner by doing this. In Proverbs 30, verse 5, we read a very clear idea about exactly what trusting in God is. Proverbs 30, verse 5, God is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. We all know what a shield does. It deflects generally harmful things from hurting us. When we trust in God, God is our shield. The second thing, and these are all, I said, always put your trust in God. The first one were in God Himself, in the mercy of God. One can say in God Himself also. Turn to Psalm 52, verse 8. Psalm 52, verse 8. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. Once again, David, trusting in the mercy of God. How about Noah? We're not going to turn there, but I'll just read it. Genesis 6:22. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. So did he. Can you imagine the ridicule that Noah took? Didn't stop him, though, did it? He trusted in God. He trusted in what God had told him. And he reached forward, as we heard before. He pressed on. He kept building the ark. So we are to do the same. God will have mercy on all of us. As long as we trust Him, it will all work out for good. The third aspect is that we should always trust in God's Word. Once again, David, in Psalm 119, verses 41 to 44, we read, "Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word." There we are, mercies in God's word. "So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever." We learn God's law by His word. And we should never, never be ashamed of that fact. We should also count on His mercy, that no matter wherever that leads us, He is there to protect us, to guide us, and to help us through. Just going to mention one other example that you can look at yourself, but we all know the story so well. And that's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3. We all know that story. They had utmost confidence, utmost trust in God. It didn't matter what Nebuchadnezzar had said to them. Didn't matter what he did to them. He said, if our God doesn't save us now, he's able to, and it'll still end up good. We don't have to worry. We just have to put our trust in our God. You can find many, many other examples in the Bible. Those are some of the short ones of things that we should trust. We should absolutely trust in God. And there are some things that are mentioned in the Bible of things that we are told not to put our trust in. And probably the first on that list is in our wealth and our riches. You turn to Mark verse 10 or chapter 10, verse 24. Mark 10, 24. We read, "And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, 'Children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God.'" Jesus Christ himself acknowledged how hard it is to be in his kingdom if our absolute trust is in our wealth and our riches. You can also write down 1 Timothy 6, 17 and 19 through 19. Tells us not to store up material wealth, material riches, but to store up a good foundation, to store up spiritual gifts. In 1 Timothy 6, 10, it says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." That doesn't mean money itself is evil. We need money to survive. That's how our civilization runs. But it can't be our absolute confidence. It cannot be. And one example of that is Job. Job at the time was probably the richest man on earth. And God allowed Satan to take everything away from him except for his very life. He lost his wealth, he lost his family, he lost his health, and he lost his friends. We need to be like Job, though. If you remember how this all went through, Job chapter 1, verse 20, it says, "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground in worship. And he said, 'Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.'" Can each one of us say that in some of our darkest times? I know there's been times in the past where that hasn't been the first thing I've uttered. I think I'm getting better at it, but I'm not perfect yet. And God says we're supposed to be maturing. When we read about perfection there, none of us will be perfect until our race is finished, until in the twinkling of an eye, corruption puts on incorruption. That's that goal. That's what's at the end of the race for us. The other thing we're not supposed to rely on is ourselves. Isaiah 31, verse 1, we read, "Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen, because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord." We know how that ended. Not well. Also, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. Here we read, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." Is that your trust? That God will deliver you? Verse 11, "You also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Physical gifts were given to them, but even more importantly were the prayers for them. And that's important for us to remember, that as we're going through this together, we need to pray for each other. We need to help each other to develop that ultimate trust in God. We can't let each other down. So we heard about the race. There were four people on that team. Each one had to do their part. The same is true of us in our race. As it was said, one thing we can count on is that our anchor is pretty good. We just have to get to that point where we can turn it over to the anchor. I'll mention the story of David and Goliath. It's a lot of people's favorite story in the Bible. Won't go through it, but in Samuel, the story is given. And David trusted in God. No one else there trusted in God. David said, it doesn't matter who's, I mean, you know, you blasphemed our God, the great God, and I am going to do my part. And God is going to guide me in that. And he trusted, and we all know the outcome. I have to go to this one, because we've all heard this one before, that it was somebody's favorite story in the Bible, and that someone was me. And that's 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 14 through 17. Story of Elisha. Verse 14, it says, therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. We know the story. They were surrounded. The enemy was great. And in verse 15, and when the servant who was with Elisha of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto them, alas, my master, how shall we do? And what was his words? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And in verse 17, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. The same can be said of us. We don't see what God does for us behind the scenes and what God will do for us behind the scenes. He may never reveal the angels that have protected our lives or whatever other resources he calls upon in a certain situation. But we have to trust God that whatever it is, whatever needs to be done, God will provide. God is there. We need to press forward. We need to take those steps and keep moving forward to keep our faith and our trust in God. So once again, I ask each one of us, where do we put our trust? In the book of Nahum, chapter 1, verse 7. Nahum, chapter 1, verse 7. God knows who trust in him. It isn't just words for God. We read, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him." God knows when we trust in him. Because he trusts in us. Trust is a two-way street. It really doesn't work as a one-way street. I mentioned the products at the very beginning. That really is a kind of a one-way street. We may trust in some, you know, in UPS to deliver our package on time or whatever the case may be. What they trust on is that we'll pay the bill. But how do we show and build our trust in real terms? It's easy for us to say we trust in God, but it's just words without actions. There are many, 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 many uncountless ways we can do that. I'll just name some major ones. Number one, obeying God's commandments. All God's commandments. Number two, one of God's commandments. The Sabbath, keeping the Sabbath holy. Number three, the health laws. They're commonly known as clean and unclean meats. We trust God. God instituted all of these for our good. And that if we follow them, good outcomes will come. Tithing. I'm sure almost every one of us could say, oh, tithing, that's a tough one. But it really tests our trust, doesn't it? Because on paper, it never seems to work. I've never heard anybody said on paper that it works. But off paper, with that trust, it always works. It goes beyond working. It is such a blessing to be able to tithe. The festivals of God, keeping the festivals of God. God's word talks about festivals. They are in place to teach us lessons, teach us about God's plan. Matthew 6, verse 33. Nobody has to even turn there. Seek first the kingdom. That should be foremost in our minds, seeking first the kingdom. All these other things are part of seeking first the kingdom, right? Because if we don't do the other ones, we're not going to get to the kingdom. Another important one is healing. God is our ultimate healer. Not here to say anything bad about doctors or medicines or anything else. But ultimately, God is our life sustainer. If our ultimate trust is not in God, medicine, doctors, whatever else, are not going to be able, always be able to help. They can certainly do a lot of things. Man has learned a lot of things in the time that he's been here. But we can never forget that God was behind all that intelligence. God gave man that intelligence to discover those things. But ultimately, it all goes back to our trust in God. When it comes to our physical lives, what we have to remember is in God's grand scheme of things, it's really just a little human part. God's more interested in the trust, the spiritual side of things. Not that it's not important. We all have to physically live our lives and do what's necessary. But that can't be our ultimate. God works with us in our physical lives, helping us through trials to develop his character. So once again, I ask you, where is your trust? Where is my trust? Psalm chapter 62, verses 1 through 2. To the chief musician, to Judithan, a psalm of David. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. For him cometh my salvation. God provides that ultimate treasure at the end of the race. Our salvation. And in verse 2, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. We won't be deterred. We won't be set back. We won't be stopped because our trust is in God. We will be able to put one foot in front of the other and keep going until the end of our race, whenever that may be. We all recognize this. The U.S. dollar bill. I don't know the last time you looked, but right above the big one, what does it read? In God we trust. Oh, I wish that was true. It's written on ink and paper. Our trust must always be written on our hearts and our minds and in our actions with God's Holy Spirit. It needs to be more than just words. It isn't just a slogan or a motto. So I say, in everything we do in life, always put your trust in God.